Welcome back to another Two Guys Golf podcast. This is Tyler.
And this is Mike.
Yeah, if you're watching on the YouTube, you just saw the first version of our intro for YouTube podcasting. Because I didn't like that when I downloaded the one, like the sound from this for the regular podcast it didn't have the music. I like the music.
Oh, okay.
Oh, to put it on YouTube, it was like, I would have had to like redo the whole video.
Mm-hmm.
Like take the video from this, like add the intro and edit it and then like export it and then go to YouTube, which would have been like an hour, 20-minute video, which would have sucked to like export.
True.
So obviously just playing it and then exporting this, it just all be together. So mm-hmm. I hope it worked. I don't necessarily know what that's gonna look like on the finished product, but
whatever. Yeah. We'll know when we know. It was cool though.
Yeah the kid, you know, whatever. The podcast
shout out to the right.
Shout out what?
I said shout out to the editors. Preach.
Yeah. so I guess we're calling this the catching up podcast.
Yeah.
Since
yep.
Last time
we watched
the Masters last time.
Yeah. Yep. So 2023, we've gotten out and played golf a few times. Today is May 2nd, and the weather outside is frightful. We're still getting snow. It's 40 degrees. And, yeah, I mean, we've had some days where it was, like, 75 degrees, sunny, like, 5-6 mile per hour winds. And, you know, it's May 2nd. Here we are with not very nice weather. So, yeah, it's been a weird spring for sure. I would have liked to have played more up to this point, you know, with April, it's hit and miss here in Michigan, but it is what it is. So yeah, this is the recap of the Two Guys Golf journey through the spring. I guess, where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Glenn?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's, so we've been, how many times did we play it? I mean, we've been playing Glenn since March. And it's mm-hmm. been nice. It's been windy. There was that one day that we just only played 9 holes because it was so windy. Like, sevens, woods. It was 205 to the middle on mm-hmm. seven, and I hit 3 wood good, and it went 210 yards,
yep.
like into the wind. And it was, I mean, you gotta play
just for you context. Know,
yeah,
that's a club you generally carry what, 260, 270 off the tee.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it went 210. So like 50, 60 yards shorter than what you generally hit it. And then I hit driver from the same tees. Something I carry, I'm 17 handicap, so it's sporadic. I could carry it 180 yards. I could carry it 240. You just, you know, there's a difference of hitting the center of the club face with, you know, a good attack angle and speed. Sometimes I don't have that. So I don't know what my exact number is. But
yeah, I think it's mainly the speed for you.
Yeah, it's like 225, 230 is probably general. So yeah, I stepped up and hit driver, and I think it trickled to the back of the green, but it did carry on to the green, but still, it was like, it was wild winds out there.
Yeah, that was, but there's been a lot more days like that than there's not been.
Mm-hmm.
There was that, what was it last? It was like last Tuesday. It was like That was the day we were gonna like go do other stuff, and then we decided to go play golf because it was
too nice
so nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that was a lot of fun. That was really cool. That was so. Just looking at my notes, that all kind of led to the only thing that we've done competitively at Glen was a two-man scramble.
Yep.
Which I don't remember. I think we shot. Oh, we shot 64.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Tell us about that day.
Yeah, it was a good round of golf. Very excited about it. We didn't think we played as well as we did as far as the standings. We know what we're capable of as far as what we're going to shoot and what we're kind of trying to shoot that day as a two-man. And it was the first time we'd competitively played this year together as a two-man scramble. And honestly, we were paired with a couple of guys who were members also at Glencairn where we play, where we're members. And they, you know, the one guy in the very first tee was like, yeah, fellas, it was a late night last night. Like, I'm going to try to not throw up in your backswing. So just letting us know, I will probably throw up at some point. I just hope it's not in your backswing. Like, very cool.
So
there's two different kinds of golfers.
Yeah, he did not. I don't know if that was a bit of dramatics, you know.
Certainly could be.
You know, certainly super nice guy. I would play with them again. Like, they were totally fine. It's just,
yeah, yep.
Definitely an interesting first tee story. Like, you know, like, and then to really, like, he was fine. He, it wasn't really that big a deal.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, there's no better time to start the golf swing excuses than on hole one when you're playing with another twosome. So, like, yeah, let them rip, dude. We get it. We don't care. Like, we both probably got, you know, 6 to 8 hours of sleep the night before. And, you know, we're just living different lives. You know, we're going down different paths, but we crossed that day and it was great. So, yeah, definitely, like you said, would play with those guys again. Just overall a great time. Like, they played fast. You know, they didn't hit the ball out of bounds all that often, and they were respectful of, you know, like, hey, it's your tee box, hey, it's our tee box, you know, just kind of the general mannerisms on the golf course.
Although I don't know, was it ever their tee box?
Maybe once, but yeah, we took a lead on them pretty early, and I remember you telling me, like, yeah, we're not worried about them. We don't have to beat them. We're already going to. So
for the story, we did beat them by 5. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, they were hanging in there. They were hitting some pretty all right shots. The ringer was definitely the ringer. The other guy was just, you know, he was just out there to have a good time. You know,
I mean,
hair of the dog.
What do I always say about winning golf tournaments? Like, you got to start with beating who's ever in your group.
Yep, and that's the first step.
You're definitely not going to win if you're not at least beating the people you're playing with.
So, yeah, but overall, I don't think it was supposed to rain that day, and it didn't rain much. We got maybe a couple holes where it was kind of nasty, but other than that, overall, good weather day. It was a little chilly, but I just, like, the layers was, like, take them off, put them back on, take them off.
Yeah.
But Glenn upgraded their carts this year, and so it had the cart cover behind it for the golf clubs. That was super nice.
Oh my gosh. It's like the best. It's the best thing ever invented for golf. It, like, as far as carts go.
Yep.
The other one is the little umbrella that goes on your cart, or like on your bag when they don't have those. Those are, I have one of those.
Okay.
It's an old guy thing, but I have one.
Yeah, it was super nice for the conditions, of course. I mean, it's an outdoor sport, so you never know what the conditions are going to be, especially in West Michigan, where it could be 75 and sunny one day, and then the next day it starts snowing, and it's 38 degrees.
It is certainly an outside sport. Mm-hmm. You got to play the conditions.
Yep.
I almost feel like that might just be a really good segue into talking about yesterday.
Sure.
And I don't really have a ton left to say about like Glenn in particular and like that golf tournament.
Yeah,
Unless
I
you
can.
wanted to talk about my six solo birdies on the front nine.
Sure. Yeah. I, you know, team backpack, and I was on Tyler's shoulders all day long, just showing him lines and stuff, or trying to. Yeah, but yeah, it was fun overall. It was a good time, and Tyler was playing really well, which he needed to. We kind of alluded to what happened yesterday, and so to wrap up the Glenn story, we ended up taking second place,
Oh,
which
yeah,
is
that's
our
right.
second year in a row, actually, for those paying attention who might know what we talked about last year's first two man scramble. We played at Indian Trails, and we
Oh,
also
that's
took
right.
second for our first two man scramble tournament of the year. So we have history repeating
See,
itself where the first.
I don't like, see, I didn't even think, I didn't even remember that. That's crap. If you're not first, you're last.
That's why you're Jim Nantz and I'm Tony Romo.
Bobby, damn, Bobby, they're second, third.
I lived my whole life on those words. Yeah. So we took second. We don't know who won. We didn't make any
No prizes, no proxies.
no prizes, no proxies, and no skins. So
Yeah,
everybody,
a real freaking real nothing burger day.
yeah, just another round.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yesterday, US Open local qualifier, again held at Muskegon Country Club. Some people don't like that, but hey, we don't make the rules, we just show up and play.
I like it.
Yeah, I do too. It's
I've
nice
still
having
never lost a golf ball.
familiarity. That's true. I told Cece that yesterday on the car ride back home. I was like, Tyler has still yet to lose a ball there. I've played one round there and I've lost one ball. Actually, two. Well, the one I didn't lose, it was just in somebody's backyard and I didn't feel like climbing a fence to go get a ball that honestly had probably, run its
The
course.
other one I feel we could have found, but those members behind us, it was like right at the beginning of the round, and I was just a little anxious about, like, because it's always hard when you're like visiting somewhere. Because they were like, "Oh no, yeah, no, we're slow,"
You guys
and
go
for
first.
yeah, and I was just like, "Oh, like," and then we were like gonna hold them up, and they think they're slow. I'm like, "Oh my God!" Like,
Yeah.
so that's it's fine, but.
So, yeah, yesterday, Muskegon Country Club, Tyler was competing in the US Open local qualifier. It was, to not mince words, it was a hellacious day in terms of weather. It was probably the hardest day of work that I've worked this year.
Yeah.
With my day job and my side gig, looping for Tyler, it was extremely on and off. Like it was kind of like we had prepped for it. Like your wife, my girlfriend, came and they were going to be spectators, and I told my girlfriend, I was like, hey, you need to show up wearing like multiple layers, waterproof shoes, hand warmers if you got them, gloves, a winter hat, all these things. And it in the beginning, it really wasn't that bad. It's kind of relatively speaking for what we were about to receive from Mother Nature, it was kind of all right. Like you
Yeah,
had
holes
stripped.
12 to 12. I took off that like wind thing. Never actually put it back on, but that was probably totally fine up until like two tee box. So from 12 to, because I started on 10, so 12 to two tee box, so whatever, how many holes that is, like 10, I guess. Relatively fine. Like it was okay. It wasn't like miserable yet.
Right.
Certainly wasn't good. The only holes that was really like fine was probably 12, 13, 14, 15. Those are, yeah, 12, 13, 14, 15, and honestly those are the ones that are like kind of the lowest, with the most trees around that entire section, which was So it was okay. That was it was I wouldn't even have called it like bad weather. It was just it wasn't ideal, but it wasn't bad. It was like 16 tee box once he finally got back up more high, and then there wasn't as, that was when it started to be a an absolute just grind. But yeah, gone.
Yeah, it was, and it was funny because Kevin, who was one of the other players' caddy, kind of approached me. He's like, "Honestly, it's not too bad." I'm like, "Yeah, it's not bad right now. Just wait. It's coming. I can feel it in my left knee. It's coming." I'm just kidding. I'm not that old yet. But it was kind of a funny interaction because on two holes later, probably on 16, I wasn't paying attention to where it happened, but he was like, "You remember what I told you a couple holes ago about it not being that bad?" I'm like, "Yeah, look what you did." But totally out of his control.
You know,
It
something that I think's funny
was
is it's so funny how we've gotten more like this caddy player thing. And not by I'm certainly if it would have been nicer out, I would have known who Kevin was. But like I have no idea who that is. Like I it but so it's funny, you made like caddy friends and like I made golfer friends. Like I because we're all kind of doing our separate things in a way. You know, you
Well, yeah,
guys
you
are
know Dan. Dan, Kevin was Dan's caddy. Just to put a face to the name. It was his first year ever caddying, doing anything, and especially like this stage is kind of like the big stage. It was interesting. He got talked to by the Golf Association of Michigan, one of the rules members there, just kind of was like, "Hey man, like you cannot like if your player's here, you cannot stand like directly behind them
Yeah.
or in line with your player and the hole. You cannot stand, it cannot be 100%." I told you this on course. I was like, we were walking up one of the fairways and I was like, "Yeah, I mean, I know that rule. I'm such a dialed caddy. I know all the rules. I know what I'm supposed to do, what I'm not supposed to do." And to be honest, from my perspective, yesterday was kind of like a day off almost. I think I touched the flag maybe 3 times out of 18 holes because there were two other caddies, and the other one was very competent, knew what he was doing, was helping
Yeah.
his player out, all sorts of different ways. And the other guy was just so gung-ho just to like be in the mix. I was just kind of taking a step back and just like, this gives me more time to like make sure Tyler's clubs are nice and dry, wipe them down a little bit, just kind of take a more passive approach to caddying. Because there was one year where there was no other caddies there. There was
Yeah.
nobody following our group. So I was like responsible for the flag for all 18 holes. And when you guys are kind of in the moment, when you're walking off putts, getting to the hole, you'll pull it out and hand it to me and just, what I need to do from there. I just go, off the green and do my thing. So yesterday was very much so kind of like a lax, like I can just kind of watch Tyler play, especially around the greens. You don't need my help around there. I just take a step back. I'm like, "Okay, you guys that want to pull the flag, by all means, please." Because
Right.
then I can just hang out with you when you're done with the hole, or while you're waiting for somebody to chip or putt. And so overall, my responsibilities yesterday were a lot less than I was anticipating, but that was cool. And that was the first time we've ever had three caddies in our group
Yeah,
at
that's
Muskegon.
true. It is the first time we've ever had more. Yeah. Just thinking about like, it's funny how the flag tends to be the thing that like people think about when they think of caddying, where it's like, oh, you get the flag. And it's like, of all the things I could think of that I'd need help with, it's like the least one. Like, it's certainly super nice. I always enjoy not having to do it. But when I think of you doing it, like, I don't really love that you're like doing it for me just because, like, I don't view it seems to, it's, I don't know, it's just like weird thing where like I don't. I would never be like, oh, Michael, like Michael should get that for me. Like I, it's all the others. It's just like the hanging out and the walking and the talking and the wind and just having somebody to like when you can ask, like, is it 7 or 8? And then you'd be like 8, and I'm just like, if I hear you say 8, and I'm like, no, it's not 8, it's 7. just like having that
It's
back and forth.
like the coin flip of like, you
Yeah,
know
thing.
internally what you want. If I tell you the wrong thing, then you know that's the wrong thing. Or if
Yeah.
I reinforce what you're already thinking, then it just gives you more confidence and be like,
Yeah.
yes, I'm hitting seven. Like, done
Yeah.
deal.
It's funny though, because I think like the flag's the thing that like is just, it's just like the thing, like, oh, you get the flag. It's always been that way. I even think of it, even as like a player, I think of it. But what's nice is like, what's nice about like having more than one is, and it's very, it's a different thing, like competitive golf. Like you do need to some extent, if you want to give yourself the best chance to succeed, you do to a degree have to flip a different kind of a switch a lot of times. And when there's other caddies, like I will not pick a flag up. Like I just, especially if we're like done first, like I just am going to assume, like, I'm gonna go to the next hole. Like, I'm just gonna assume somebody else's caddy is going to like get the flag, and like we will just walk somewhere else. Like, I don't, which is different than when you play like regular golf. Because you play regular golf, you always like generally wait to get the flag, or just you're hanging out. You're never going to the next hole. Or sometimes if I'm like really mad, like I'm just not interested. Like if I'm keeping score of Y player and they're already in and I tap in and the only other player that has to like putt is like the guy I'm not keeping score for, I won't watch. I don't care. I am going to the next hole because I'm upset, and it doesn't matter to me what they shoot. So just moving on. It's funny, just like the competitive golf landscape is, it's like learning to manage the energy that you're spending. And it doesn't really happen like consciously. It's not that I don't care. It's just after 8 years of it, like you learn how to control energy, and watching other people do things does take some energy.
Okay.
It might take 0.01% energy to watch somebody tap in a 2 foot putt. That's still energy. You add those up 10 times, that's 1%. Like 1% of energy is, or whatever I said, 0.1%, whatever. But you still do it enough times. Like if three people shoot 70 in your group, that's 210 shots. If you are invested in the other two guys every single shot, that's 140 extra shots you need to like mentally like have capacity for. Because the first thing you do when you watch somebody else hit a golf ball is like think about it.
Yep.
And
What is
that's
it
what takes.
setting up for? What would I do?
Yeah, you listen to it, you're like, oh, it sounded a little heely, or oh he got that one, or especially putts. Like you gotta watch everybody's putt a lot of times because you're taking in information. And so at the end, like over the years, I've gotten very used to like, if this doesn't matter for me, I don't watch or care. Same way, like I love having you come because I don't have to talk to anybody. But the thing is like I do like to talk.
But you have a dedicated person who
Yeah.
is not in the field who you can still talk
Yeah,
to,
and it's
have
easy. Like
higher level conversations,
I could talk
or
to you.
not at all.
I could talk to you for hours and will expel very little energy because of, it's been over like probably over 15 years of just talking. When I'm talking to somebody new, I have like, it takes a lot more thought, where I can say half a sentence to you and you'll probably know what I'm talking about. Where if I'm talking to, so and so brand new, oh, where are you from? Oh, that's really cool. And then you think about where they're from, and then you think about what is in the area, and you think of the golf course that they're near, and like, oh, do you play that golf course? And oh, that's really cool. Like, oh, like it goes down this cycle where, to be like honestly, that is a lot of energy, and you do it enough. And when I don't have you, I find myself, I talk to people that I play with all the time, just by roots, just like a habit. You just stand there and you end up talking, and it's fun. It's super nice. It's not my favorite thing to do with the US Open qualifier.
Sure. Yep. Different
There's
level.
Yeah, like if I'm playing the Golf Week AM Tour thing, no problem. Like that's, I'll talk to any of those guys. I love those hanging out with those guys. Kent County AM, no problem. Again, it's generally a pretty nice day out, so it's not really hard to talk. You're not really using a lot of energy just in general. Where yesterday it's 30 degrees with a 25 mile an hour wind, like using a lot of energy just to stand up, let alone ask so and so about their what golf course they play the most. Like, towards the end, I don't think I didn't talk to you much other than thank you. Here you go. Thank you. Can I have that hand thing? How far do I have to hit this? Sometimes it was literally just questions of how far do I have to hit this? Okay. And that was the last thing I'd say. And I'd take a club and then I'd just try to hit it. It's a very miserable day.
Yes, it was. It was, to quote you, it was biblical, like nasty monsoon type wind blowing like up into your face. It just, you can't escape it. You're out on a golf course and there's really no tree coverage. It's just what you got's what you got, and just try to make the most of it. Towards the end of the round, I was also kind of relieving myself from all the little things that caddies do. I was just hanging out with your wife and my girlfriend. I'm just like, yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm pretty burnt too of just, carrying the bag and going through the motions of what I'm expected to do there. And I was just like, you know what? Those other two caddies, they got the flag. I'm just gonna stand down here and just try to not think about what I'm doing in the moment. And I'll be ready for you when it's time to hit your next shot. And like your putt on 7, you made par. I didn't even watch the putt go in because like you were up here and like my level of vision was not to the green at that point. I couldn't even see your ball. At no point after you hit your chip shot did I ever see your ball. And I was just like, he's either gonna make par or bogey most likely. So, whatever happens, I'll watch the motion of you hitting your putt. And if you start going like this, then I know that you made it. And if I see you go more like this, then I know you're marking it. And we'll move on to the next hole. Because at that point it was like, okay, we've only got 2 holes left. Like, let's just, lock in here. Let's just try to conserve some energy.
And there was nothing at that point that I could have done to make it. So there is always a point in a round of golf where, like, on four, I still said I was like nine over. I think it was on four, and I said, well, if I birdie every hole, I can still probably make it.
And you
And
did birdie one of those holes.
did I? Oh, that's right. I bring it.
You did not get skunked.
Well,
Another
and I had
quote.
a well, and after I said that, I hit a shot to below the hole, and I had 15 feet for birdie. So, I mean, we were legitimately like, it's not like it was out of the realm of possibility.
No.
It's just that it was, I don't want to call it impossible, but it was
A very
like
daunting task.
it felt like impossible golf because there were certain spots where I just like the tee shot on six, like I just don't think I still don't think I could hit that golf shot with the way the wind was based on how I hit the golf ball, which is why I hit such a poor shot, because I realistically probably needed to hit like an iron or something. I could probably hit three wood, probably. But I don't like hitting three, especially when I'm uncomfortable. I don't like hitting three off the tee. So we might change that though. I'm cooking up something in my head about how to maybe fix that. So we'll see what happens. It's a mystery. If it works, I'll let you know. If not, it'll just be a thing that
So yeah, that shot on 6, you hit driver, 4 iron, 4 iron, and you were still short of the green, right?
Driver, 4 iron, 4 iron.
And how far is that hole from where you played, like five?
I think it's 560.
Sounds right.
I think it's 560 because it's like I can just barely get there, like, because I remember that 1 year we had 260 in, so, and I hit that tee shot pretty good, so I must have hit it 300 and then I had 260 in. We did get there that year.
Yep, the old hybrid.
Yeah. Which is not in the bag, so. And it shouldn't be. It's not as good a club, but yeah, so yeah, driver 4 iron, 4 iron, like 30 yard shot. It was insane.
It was incredible to watch some of the tee shots where you'd start at probably 40 yards left of your target, playing back towards the clubhouse where the northwest wind was coming
Yeah.
in, and watching the ball just kind of go up, and then once it started losing its speed, the wind took it and would just push it all the way across the other side of the fairway, sometimes to the other fairway, like not in the right rough, but in the other fairway. And it was like, that wasn't even a bad shot. It's just the wind's so strong up there. There's just nothing you can do about it. Like, one of my favorite shots was when you hit 4 iron out of the rough, and the club goes like 200, 210, and it went 140 yards because it just like hit a wall of wind and just like knocked it down and almost kind of pushed it back a little
Well,
bit.
on 7, I hit 4 iron, and I started it left of the green. We use, or I use GC quad a lot, so like carry numbers, I'm getting a very good feel of what carry numbers feel like now, because it for I guess if you're the uninitiated, it's a launch monitor that tells you how far you're hitting each shot based on pictures of the golf ball. That doesn't matter. It's accurate. It costs like $10,000. So, and so when I hit that shot on 7, I feel like GC Quad would have said I hit that 220. Something very close to 220 because I hit it really, really good. Normal conditions, I think it was probably in the 140 ball speed area. And it carried 160 yards. Like, legitimately didn't reach the green. It just, it was just a lot.
Yes, it was in a lot of different ways. But so yeah, we talked about the weather, the conditions. You mentioned earlier you started on 10, and we actually did a little bit of research at the end of the round, looked at all the players who started on the first tee box instead of 10, and it was astounding how much of a difference it made if you started on 1 versus started on 10. And you said, from your perspective, those are much easier holes to start on than 10. And you, for the past at least 3 years that I've played with you or caddied for you, it's always been starting on 10.
I've never not started on 10.
Okay, so all the years you've gone to this event, you've always started on 10.
Well, and it sounds like an excuse. It's just, and that's why I kind of had that conversation with you about why I didn't want to lead this conversation, because I could maybe get a little excuse based. And that's not the point of documenting it. It doesn't matter. Like four people made it, and one person shot 200 par. So it's not like it was impossible. I just wasn't good enough that yesterday. And the thing about like that golf course, so everybody that made it through started on 1, and out of like the top 10 or so guys, only like a couple of them, it took me until like the 7th person until I found somebody that started on 10 that shot like a respectable score. The first alternate, second alternate, and the people that got in all started on 1. The reason that that's important is because And what's ironic is if I started on one next year and then again shoot like 80, like this would all just go out of the window as far as, but again, I don't know because I've never done it.
Exactly.
So I don't know. But anyways, the point of why it's important is because in a round of golf, it's hard to just build mo you have to build momentum. Momentum's not something you can take from the range to the first tee, because golf is slow. Like you it does take a long time. Like you hit a tee shot, then you walk, you have to wait. I do generally hit it farther than most people, so I do tend to wait a little longer. And I don't get to hit first. So you're two you, with your full swings, you want to take the least amount of time in between full swings as possible. That's the best way to make momentum, which is why it's always really good to, when you're done putting, so thin theory, like let's look at it this way. If you have a 5 foot birdie putt and the other guys you had 25 feet for birdie, they both two putt, they tap in for par. Your 5 foot birdie putt you make. You now go directly from making that putt to the next tee, and the tee box is yours, and you hit first. If you hopefully are like in a position to get to the ball first, and you have like you can hit because maybe you're like behind other people, you now have built all that momentum without having to see anybody else hit a golf shot. You don't have to wait for anybody else to hit a golf shot. Of course, you know, if there's another group in front of you, you don't have to wait for that. But there's just all these things about like not watching other people hit shots or anything like that is you do build some sort of momentum. And once you're near the green, I say personally, like momentum doesn't really matter anymore because you should just those shots are you're going to take your time on them regardless. Especially putting. Putting is almost it's so routine oriented. Like I'd probably say without knowing it, I probably spend a very similar amount of time on each putt without knowing it. And so anyways, that's like the momentum aspect of it, which is super interesting because golf's such a it's such a weird game where it's played over such a long time and it's you're not touching the thing that you're trying to score with as opposed to like basketball. And so on at Muskegon, the first hole is super easy, the second hole is really easy, the third hole is really easy, the fourth hole is really easy. The fifth hole is not that hard. It's a mid iron on a par three that goes, it's pretty uphill, but the wind generally doesn't, it never hurts you because it's facing west. So the wind would have to be some really weird easterly wind to ever be into. It might be out of the north, which will kind of push it, but that's a crosswind's not like a super tough wind. You just hit it. Downwind's always obviously I always feel like downwind's always easier. So it's not like and then six is a par five and we kind of talked about it. That hole's not it takes really good shots, but par is not a bad score. I mean I've made feel like I've made par on the hole quite a few times at this point. And seven's tough. But when it's hot and it's warm and it's like nice out, like under normal conditions, it's again kind of a mid iron for like a US Open local qualifier type of player. Like you'd obviously have a hard time with it, but like most of the people in the field yesterday are probably hitting like anywhere from under normal conditions, they're hitting anywhere from 4 to 9 iron. And that's again not that hard. Eight's probably the easiest hole in the golf course. And then
A drivable par four.
so nine's the first hard hole. Nine's on the front nine, nine is like it's one of the hardest holes on the golf course. And you've played 1 to 8 holes, relatively easy holes where you could have a birdie look on the first 4 holes. You make two of them, you're two under. You play a par five, maybe you make birdie. That's 3 under, and then you play a drivable par four. I mean, you could a good player could get it to 4 under, under really like easy conditions, pretty easily. It wouldn't even really take that hard of golf. It would just it's driver wedge first four holes and a par five and then a drivable par four. Like those are four really good birdie, or those are really six really good birdie opportunities.
Yep.
And if you're making birdies, you're probably not making bogey on those slightly harder holes. You're probably making par.
Mm-hmm.
And you build up eight holes of momentum.
Yeah. That's why I brought it up mostly, was just the momentum aspect of, you know, getting into a rhythm, getting into a flow, seeing some birdie putts go down, and really just building up your confidence of like, you know what, I know the back nine's harder, but I have confidence going into it that, you know, worst I'll make is like a bogey. And, you know, I'm just going to grind out for pars from here on out. And, you know, if I make a birdie, I make a birdie.
Yeah. And as much as it sucks to say like, oh, it shouldn't matter, it does. And I think, so flip that around. Like, what happens if you start on 10? Well, 10 is the hardest green on the golf course. So it is by the greens book, I do not believe it has anything less than 3% slope on the entire thing. I think it averages 4 to 5,
mm-hmm.
which if you're, again, this is all science-y golf stuff, but if you had 4% slope on a 10-foot putt left to right on that green, and it was consistent 4% from the start of the putt to the hole, that putt would break. It would be 2 feet for, so 4 degrees, make that in half. That is 2 feet of break for every foot. So a 10-foot putt with consistent break, that would be 20 feet of break on a 10-foot putt. Now, the reason you don't see that a lot of times in golf is because most of the greens never have a consistent 4 degrees of slope.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny about that hole, though, is if you were, that would be the one, though, like, that's like a hole where if you were pin high, if you hit it 10 feet above the hole to try to make it, you wouldn't make it. It would have to be coming in above the hole and then be like perfectly in the center, but it's always going to end up 10 to 15 feet below the hole. Mm-hmm. So on that putt, you'd just try to manage it to get it to like inside 8 feet below the hole and just two putt it. Honestly, you should be happy with a 3-putt. Just, I've seen it a lot. Like, you have to be really close to make the putt, like Grant was yesterday.
Yeah, and he played it like 3 cups above the hole and let it like drip.
Yeah, he probably hit that putt 6 inches and was basically had his back to the hole,
mm-hmm.
from about 4 feet. So, I mean, it probably broke. He was 4 feet away. It probably broke more than 4 feet.
Yep.
And so that's really hard. That's a hard hole to start on because it's, mm-hmm. I made 5, and with the wind, I literally told you, like, I was trying to make 5.
Yep.
Because I was just trying to take 6 out of play. I didn't want to make 6. I wanted to make 5 or less. Anything less than 5 was a bonus and just no big deal. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of other holes. Like, obviously, I wouldn't want to make a bogey, but into the wind on the very first hole of the U.S. Open, like, I hit a good drive that went 220 yards.
Yep.
So, yeah, just you got to just take what you can get. And so then go to 12 is really, as I've gotten used to 12 is really not that bad, but it's another hole that's fine. And then 13 is a pretty long into the wind par 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do have a pretty easy par 5 after that. And then you have like a 210 yard par 3.
Mm-hmm.
Which is extremely hard. And then you have 16, which is probably by the scorecard the hardest hole in the golf course. I know by scorecard it is literally the hardest hole.
Mm-hmm.
For me, playing both of them, I feel like maybe 9 or 16 are kind of interchangeable as far as hard. I'm not really sure which is easier. I feel like they're just both hard. They both play in 16 plays into the wind. So it's like 460 into the wind, and it's got like the hardest green on the, well, Which one do you think is harder, 10 or 16, green wise?
I think 10.
I think 10.
I
I
think
feel
so,
like
yeah.
10 feels more four puttable.
It's
16
more
doesn't feel
intimidating, I think.
16 doesn't feel four puttable, but the hole in general is harder because it's 130 yards longer than 10. So 10's saving grace is that you can almost always get there in two shots, where like 16 you might get there in four if you're like having a bad day. So, which didn't I literally do that? I hit it way right. I laid up. Yeah, I technically was chipping. I was chipping for par from short of the green. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, yeah, that's probably the hardest hole in the golf. But again, I feel like it's nine or 16. They're probably interchangeable. Whichever one has more wind, honestly. And they play the same direction, so it's kind of the same either way. Yeah, so you really don't get to like an easy hole until I would say 11. I'd say 11's easy, but again, it's a par three with a relatively hard to putt on green, depending on where they put the pin location. And it's your second hole of the day, and you just played a hard hole. And like I said, golf's weird. It's To give another sports analogy, it's like when you're like having an off day as a shooter, like if you're playing basketball, like you try to get to the line. Merce used to say that all the time, like try to get to the line, like try to go in the paint and get fouled, go to the free throw line, make a couple, and then like you kind of build that momentum. But with golf, there's just no control. There's not that control aspect. Like you just can't just get a free throw if you want one. You'd have to start on one to get the free throws. And if you start on 10, you have to play nine holes before you get to the free throw line. So it's, I don't know. It's like I said, somebody went out there and shot the good scores. It just wasn't me. But again, none of those people started on 10.
True. And for some context, last year the medalist or the person who took first place shot six under, and there were a bunch of people who shot like four under, three under, two under. This year there's only one person that shot under par. Second best was even par, 72, and then everybody else after that was like plus one, plus two. I mean, I saw a plus 30 on there from yesterday. Six people withdrew, and I checked it. Two of those people played through, I think, at least seven or eight holes and then dropped out. And then four of them
Oh,
probably just didn't show up.
they
They were like,
quit?
yeah, yep,
I didn't know
mid-round. They were
that.
like, yep, I'm done. Yeah,
I didn't know
I
that.
checked the scorecards, went to the bottom, and there were a couple of people who made it through. I think it was seven. I thought one guy dropped out before he made the turn, and then the other guy played, I think, 10 or 11 holes and then withdrew. So, yeah, and then the other four probably were like, yeah, I'm just not coming today because of weather, or they had something else come up. So, yeah, we'll never know their story. But yeah, it was Tyler and I were joking yesterday. I asked him, I was like, you think I break 150 today? Knowing what I shot during really nice conditions at that course, the only time I ever played there. And he's like, no shot. No shot. 200, maybe.
Well, so it's funny in my head when you asked me that, you started it. Do you think I would break? And in my head, I filled in the blank with 200, and I'm
200.
like, probably. And then you said 150, and I'm like, no. Like, and what's funny is like I really asked you like, would you finish? And you're like, oh yeah, I'm stubborn. I would finish. And it's like, and I'm like, well, God, you might honestly lose golf balls. Like, and then you'd have to be done because you can't, once you're out of golf balls, you're out of golf balls.
I'd run out.
You like get DQ'd. But yeah, I mean, it's, and I said this yesterday when we were at dinner, like, it's just in the sense of, I think you'd make a ton of doubles and triples. I think you could maybe have a par putt here and there. Maybe. I really don't know. If you could have hit a good shot on 11, I think you could have had a putt for par, 100%. But yeah, I just think you would have, like, for just like for you, I just think you would have made like a 20.
Yeah.
Because from like the tee box on 7, I don't think you could get there with driver. I don't know. What's funny is like I was, wait, what? I think you're, did you get cut off? Did you get muted? No, I can't hear you. Wow, our first technical issues on Oh, I see your little thing says it's muted. It still says your mic's muted.
How about now?
I can hear you now.
Oh, that was weird. I just had to click the unmute button, which I never
Oh,
click.
that was, yeah, I didn't see you click it at all.
I was on my phone calculating some numbers, and if I made an eight on every single hole, I'd shoot 144. So that would be the target, was to be try to be somewhere around eight every hole on even on par threes, like you were talking about. And still, like
I just don't.
shots because I'm like hitting it into the only water on that entire course. It's like, yeah, I might just lay up with like a 7 iron to like hit it 90 yards, try to get like
Yeah.
in front of the water, and then have another 7 iron up to the green, and then just
Yeah.
try my best.
I'm just like thinking about like eight, like, I mean, eight is. It sounds fun. No, it'll never be like there'll never be enough context to like put in to words like what yesterday was like. Because US Open conditions, you going out there, I think you 100% break 150. It might be 120. It might be 130. Like, because there's a difference. You have to put the ball in the hole. Like,
No
it means.
1 foot gimmies.
No, like you have to, and the greens are so fast, and like they're in hard spots. Like, especially if you ever had to chip. Like, in our practice round when you played for the first time, you couldn't keep it on the green chipping, and
Yeah,
it
I'd have to
honestly
learn to
still
duff
wasn't.
and run.
It still honestly wasn't like that. It wasn't even really that hard that day.
No.
So then, like tossing all the weather, like eight. Like holes, there's like no way you make eight on. Three, six, seven, nine, 10, 12, 13, 14, 16. No, I think you make 15 on 16.
I mean, you're probably not.
18. 18 too. There's no way you make 8 on 18. I mean, I just like 18, I think you literally hit it 140 yards off the tee.
Yeah.
It's 540 yards, I think. Or it might even be longer. I can't remember.
Well,
But
certainly playing longer.
so like let's say like yesterday was So like yesterday was probably playing 600 yards, if not more. So if you hit it 140, you still have 450 yards to go. I feel like you probably hit 3 wood 140 yards again. So now you're at, so now you've still got 300 something in. I think you might literally have to hit 3 wood 4 times before you get to the green. And that's if you hit all of them perfectly into the fairway. You have to stay out of both the bunkers on the left-hand side, and you can't hit it in the rough.
And I can't be behind a tree.
Because as soon as you hit it in the rough, well, now you can't hit 3 wood anymore, really, with the conditions. Like, I just, it would take you at least 5 to get to the green. And then you have to avoid three putting to like for an eight. And that's if you hit all the previous 5 shots perfectly.
Yeah, it is a it's an interesting what if to put myself in the position of like, well, like, okay, roles reversed, Tyler's caddying for me. Could we go out and break 150? US Open qualifying conditions, those specific conditions on that specific day. I don't know. That'd be
I think
interesting to have like 15 to like beyond handicappers like play the same course. Like while it's all set up still, the USGA stuff's all still there. It's not a USGA sanctioned event, but we have to play by those rules. Same pin location, same everything. Like if we all went out today, that'd be kind of cool. Caddies come out the day after.
it'd be close. I don't think we'd do it. Less than 200 for sure. I just the thing about having to make eight on every hole, and just the maybe if I could, yeah, maybe if I could caddy. And this isn't supposed to be a how shitty is Michael at golf segment
No, I know.
in any way, or like, oh well, if Tyler caddied for him, like he'd do way better. It's like, I mean, like, yeah, kind of, but.
I would for sure.
It's funny though too, like, because one of the to add context to that, like, it still blows my mind how often like you or like anybody that we play with that doesn't play like fairly higher level golf, like how often you'll tee the ball up like on a downslope and like you don't know it because you don't see it, and I'm like standing there, and I'm like, I can't, why are you doing that? What's funny is I wonder if I do it, because if you can't see it, like I can't say I don't see it every time. Like when I'm teeing up my own golf ball, but yeah. So like there's like those things that like Muskegon, that's not as big a deal, but I could probably point you in the right directions most of the time, but like 16, like as much as I can coach you, it takes just like that off the tee on 16, because maybe you can't control yourself to like just hit it in the center. Like you do that thing where you try to get a little bit more, or you try to hit a draw to go make it go through the wind. You do that thing where you kind of hit it on the heel and kind of top it and hit it like 30 yards left off the tee, and it like goes like 40 yards. Like if you do that, I less than 10 would be like perfect. It would be like good. Because I don't even know. I don't know what we do.
It's a long ways from home
I
if
mean,
I hit that shot.
we'd have 400 yards into the wind and you're coming out of the rough. I mean, it would be so hard. I'm like thinking about that hole just yesterday. Like that hole is so hard. That hole was so hard.
Yeah, the words we're saying just can't even do it justice how difficult that hole was playing that day. And just in general, just 70 degrees, it's still a tough hole.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy that hole. It's just that it was so bad. Can you see this? I don't can you read that?
Grand Rapids, 37 degrees.
This was yesterday at 5 a.m. when I was checking on, just so we can add context to this video. If anybody watches the video part of this, like what the weather app was saying about the weather for that day. I mean, there's snow. It says snow at 10 a.m. Like, yeah. But again, somebody shot the scores, so it wasn't impossible. The dude that shot 200, he didn't exactly play like early. Like he finished in pretty much the same conditions I was playing in, so I mean, he was 40 minutes ahead of me, so four or five holes. So when I was playing, he was on 9 or 18, finishing 18. I would have been on like four. Yeah, it was pretty windy at that point. It wasn't great. It wasn't great in the slightest.
No, it certainly was not. So, yeah, for context, am I pointing this way? Is this my Is this my tag or is it this way?
Which way is your tag?
For Mr. 81. Is it
Oh,
there?
other way.
Other way? It says down here.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's this way on my screen. So yeah, for context, one of my goals this year was to break 80. I have come very close. I shot an 81 this year. Tie is my best all-time score. And pretty much pretty legit. I mean, I think I played a couple of the holes from the gold tees, but other than that, it was straight up from the whites, play the ball down, right? Did I play golds that day?
Yeah, we played 1 and 8 as gold tees once.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, pretty close. Chipping in has been as alive as it has ever been. Loving
It's
my
gonna happen.
56 degree. It's super sick. I mean, I just feel very comfortable hitting it. Tyler's shown me some different techniques and, grips and face angle, things like that. So it's going to happen this year because there's been a few times where I'm like raising up my club and I'm like, that's in. Or I'm like calling it as it's like skidding on the green. It's there. I know it is. And I've chipped it in before. I know the feeling of it. It's just never counted for a stroke on a scorecard. So I
Yeah.
don't count it. It has to be in a legit round where that was my legit shot.
Yeah,
Because
and the biggest thing is that like it's such a goal because you're so bad at it. Like, these have T's in your hat.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to see him.
That's
I had
funny.
two of them in there. That was an Easter egg.
You're so you aren't as bad anymore, but I mean, like legitimately, like just so bad at like chipping the golf ball. It's like Yao Ming at the free throw line. Like it's not comfortable. It's at all.
No touch to it.
Yeah, I mean, we've done the thing where it's like throw the golf ball at the hole, and like it goes like 20 feet by the hole. I'm like, it just toss it there. It's whatever it is about the way that your body works. The connection to the muscles, like it's hard for you, and that's why it's such a good goal, is because it's hard. It's hard to accomplish.
It's
Yeah,
the big hands.
the hand thing, like hands are gigantic, so I can't imagine like what it feels like, because it's hard to get the feel right
Big
with
hands
the.
with short arms relative to my legs and torso.
You ever think your little, and this is not a shot, you ever think like your little forearms like makes it hard for like you to move like your giant like hands, because the muscles are just like,
Probably.
because the muscles are just
They're
they don't
not
have
quite.
like the finer touch muscles, because they have to work so hard in comparison to like move your big fingers.
Yeah, I
Or
mean,
like,
it's certainly possible.
man, this is not supposed to be how bad is Mike at golf and controlling his body podcast.
Just want to have fun. But yeah, so that's why I named myself this way, Mr. 81 for this segment. Since it was our kind of our recap slash like refresher of what's been going on in our world in terms of golf.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew I was having a day that day, and you asked me, you're like, you want to know? I'm like, no, I have a feeling. I can't remember scores in my head. I have to write them down.
Yeah.
But I knew I was playing well enough to have a chance. So it was a fun day. Same thing. It's just kind of like it's in there. I just have to put everything together, shave a couple strokes off. Short game was great that day. Putting was pretty good that day. Just keeping myself in play for the most part, except for on six, but six at Glencairn kind of sucks anyways, because it's like, I don't have much to do on that hole. Like I just try to hit it towards the tree, and if it gets there, it gets there. There's just so much water in play that you can't go for it. You can't hit a big club.
Maybe you should just start hitting driver.
And just blast it and then just, drop, hit three from the fairway.
I mean, what you should do is you should just start hitting. Yeah, I mean, it's the AJ thing that he always says, like, Just hit driver at the tree. Try to hit the tree. It hits the tree, it stays in. If it goes left of the tree and goes in the water, you just drop backwards into the fairway, which then it's a clear shot at the green.
Past the
If
tree.
it goes right into the water on the other pond, it's going up far enough to where you can drop at its entry point, but it's not behind the tree still. So that actually might be the move. I should probably start hitting driver on that hole since they took that one tree out above the after those ponds. I really probably should.
Because I mean you can carry the water as long as the
On the
wind's
right.
not super hard. You can carry the water, or you can bail out so far right that you hit the
Oh
ball
yeah,
far enough where
why
you
don't they
can
just
bail way
do
out.
that?
Yeah, because you can bail out to three.
Yeah, I should just definitely do that. Why would I not hit driver on that hole? Yeah, we're gonna start always hitting driver on that hole. Unless it's into the wind, like a lot, which then makes it actually easier because then you can hit a long iron and it's not. See, people don't totally get the idea of this. It's like you can hit 7 iron off the tee if it's like firm and hard, and that's fine. It's just when you play the hole a lot, you're just always looking for better ways to like play it. You want to try to find the best way to play it. And another reason like to not like if it's wet and you're hitting 7 iron, like let's say it's wet but there's no wind, you still have to hit a short club that goes way up in the air. And then you're liable to lose it. Like legitimately, like the ball will plug in the fairway and you can't find it. I've had that happen like a handful of times. It sucks. So you have to hit one that's kind of low so it doesn't plug in the fairway and you lose it.
And what I'm doing here is trying to draw a diagram really quick for the viewers here of what six is like. And honestly, I've made the fairway a little bit more wide than it probably plays.
Okay.
But so this is all water over here. Pins usually somewhere right about here. Okay, so generally speaking, this is where I tee off from, is down here. Now, this is cart path. That's in play for me. Over here, there's a bunch of rough, which is generally where I hit it, but I'm trying to get anywhere right in here because there's a 150-yard stake probably right about there.
Yeah.
Water here, water over here. Sorry, I'm not a teacher. And then this is probably a little bit wider for this diagram than it actually is out there. And then
It's
there's
probably
that.
half the size of that.
So it's like a super skinny runway fairway. There's just like it's a hard hole to play, but we might have just cracked the code. Just like, yeah, just blast driver. Whatever happened after that happens.
Yeah, I think yeah, you should just yeah, you're just yeah, you're always gonna hit a driver on that hole from that one.
Because I might
It's
get
just
good enough to where I start getting it past like over the tree or past it, like curved around
yeah.
it. I might get good enough at it. And it's better than hitting hybrid. Or like 4 iron and then 3 wood, especially if it's windy that day.
It's a pro another reason too, is like it's a I actually I've come to like the hole. It's just it does almost always play into the wind, and Glenn's a golf course that's heavily influenced by the wind of the fields around it, so it's extremely windy. Like it's not, we're talking like a 20 mile an hour wind most days. Not overly nice or anything like that. So, yeah. So, anyways, it's.
I better sign this just in case this makes it on the wall of fame.
Wall of Fame. Yeah, so what else?
Well, you could talk about the two man or the two person scramble you played in with your wife at Indian Trails.
Oh yeah. I play a lot of golf. I totally forgot about that.
Yep, that's okay.
Gosh, yeah, that was really fun actually. Yeah, the weekend of the Masters, her and I went and played at same tournament we'd played in last year. I don't remember what we shot. Do we I think we shot one under. I think we're T11 or something. We took like somewhere around 10th. 10th out of like 28 or 25 or something. Really respectable. Really respectable score. It was a lot of fun. She's so good at golf. She's just really, really good at golf. I
Yeah,
mean,
she's got new clubs in the bag now, right? The Kalea
yeah.
set. So she's got all of her clubs now, and yeah. That always helps when you got clubs that are like specifically for you and not like somebody else's that was built for them and then they just kind of like, pass them down to you, something like that. So, yeah, it's cool. Trying to think of what else. Trying to think of what else we've done.
Well, we've not been podcasting. If you've made it this
No.
far, I mean, it's generally aware like we're not, this is not winter time, so podcasting,
Oh.
obviously. Well,
We've played for the head cover a couple of times.
yeah, whatever.
One time we didn't actually finish that match, it was just kind of a wash towards the end of it. It was like, eh.
Was that the no, was
So,
that the day that it was windy? We were
yeah,
playing.
there's no declared winner, I believe. It was just kind of like
Yeah, because
towards the end, it was like,
we
yeah.
stopped playing and went and did some putting for like an hour and a half.
Oh yeah, we had ourselves a match on the putting green just for fun.
Yeah, just to when a practice for US Open is trying to just get good at like playing, like getting good at what you need to be good at, and a lot of times hitting 3 wood 210 yards into the wind is not gonna make any, ironically. But again, I did play decently. I didn't feel like I played all that bad yesterday, so I did learn quite a bit from playing in the crappy conditions we've been playing in lately. It's just, yeah, as far as what we've done, complain about the weather because it sucks.
Yep.
Like it
I
sucks all the
wanted to
time.
play today because I was around golf all day yesterday. I'm like, oh, I want to play today.
I know.
But it's blowing wind. I've seen some snow since we started podcasting. I had my blinds up and I can see outside. There's been some snow that's kind of come down, just kind of
Yeah.
like just blowing in. It's not sticking or anything, but it's enough to frustrate somebody who is like, April showers are supposed to bring May flowers. And here we are, like the flowers are gonna die because there's frost, it's below freezing. It's kind of frustrating. But next week, the 10-day forecast is supposed to just like this is like the last bad day in terms of like low temps and precipitation goes, and that's supposed to just start to get into the 60s and 70s with sunshine. That's a big thing too.
When's the wind gonna stop? Like,
It was one of the things we talked about a year or two ago was like we're in one of the windiest states and we never thought about that as kids growing up. It's
that's
just like,
right. We Googled that.
yeah, we're like
It's like,
top five or
like
top
sixth
ten.
windiest some like state in like America.
Yeah,
That's
shout
such
out
crap.
the Big Lake.
That makes me
We get a
mad.
lot of weather from that thing. It's beautiful and it's great, but
Yeah, I mean it could be worse, but
for sure.
when you go to the east side of the state, like, is it less windy there because they're farther away from the lake? I asked somebody this the other day and they didn't know.
I think so. I mean, a handful of times, but I would probably say yes, just like because we're fairly close to the lake shore where we live, not like on the lake shore, but
Oh, yeah.
relatively speaking,
I
we're
mean, like
probably
an
30
hour.
miles in. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's if we could just drive directly to the lake on
Yep.
a highway, it would not take any time at all, really.
No, as the crow flies, it wouldn't take us that long to get there. So
I mean, yeah.
yeah, it's just we just get a lot of wind. And I'm like watching some of the tall grass in my front yard right now, and it's just
Well, the trees in
no.
my backyard are blowing all over the place. And I mean, just realizing that like we've now reached the point of the podcast where we're talking about the weather.
Couple of boomers.
Viewer and listener retention's not good. That's fine.
Yeah.
If you're here at 1:15, you probably want to hear us talk about the weather.
Yep. Just a little. You've been waiting for us to go off on a tangent. Well, it's here. We didn't miss it. It took us an hour and 15 minutes to get there, but it's fine. So, yeah, other.
I don't know why I yawn so much when we do these. I'm
Yeah.
not tired in the slightest.
You gotta get a fidget. You gotta get you a golf ball rolled around your hands a little bit, or not the loud clicky thing though.
I usually play with my wedding ring.
Nice. Yeah, I don't
Oh,
have one of those, so.
flex.
But yeah, other than that, hasn't been too much. Oh, my hybrid. I guess the hybrid's been in play probably since the last time that we
Oh, yeah.
podcasted about our golf games. Hybrid's sick. It's super good. Like, even if I hit it off the toe, the twist face technology in it's so much better than my old hybrid.
Yeah.
It looks cool. It's like a mini three wood, and my three wood's like a mini driver. It's a smaller version of my driver, not an actual mini driver. So
Yeah,
yeah, they're
good
super
contact.
sick.
Since we did just release the mini driver.
Yep. I stay up with the company, with the brand.
It's funny. I feel like you don't even really hit it that much just because lately it's been so windy that you.
It's just three wood.
It's always been 3 wood because it's been
And
so
I just
windy and
hope it
cold.
gets somewhere within like 50 yards of the green.
Yeah.
So,
I know.
yep. But yeah, I'm super pumped to hit it more. It's been fun. It's kind of around the same area as my 4 iron as far as distance, but I feel like I'm gonna be hitting my hybrid farther than my 4 iron
Yeah. Well, they're
and
gonna get
four
there.
different shop
Yeah, they're gonna
like
get there different
shapes.
ways. I think the first time you had that club was actually at Muskegon when we went to the practice round. I think that was the first day you used it.
Yeah, that sounds
And you
right.
hit that sick shot over the tree around the other tree. That was like the first shot I feel like you like one of the first shots you'd hit with the hybrid. So it's got some good juju.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's got good technology in it. It feels great. It looks great. Shout out to the TaylorMade folks over there, good people, bringing us the latest and greatest technology in the golf clubs.
Yeah, they've really,
Not a
really.
sponsorship. Not
Yeah.
ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I did just realize we're both wearing our TaylorMade. Yeah, we had a lot of TaylorMade going on in this. I mean, I knew that that red sweater is a TaylorMade sweater because I have one, but I just didn't really think about it. That we're
Didn't put
both.
two and two together.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, it's good stuff. Yeah, I guess that's kind of it. I guess
Yep.
podcast schedule, if you know, we're kind of interested in divulging that, is this will be released today at some point. Probably one on Thursday, debating the Masters. So more Masters content. Then I've got another one I was thinking of that maybe for next week. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if we really figured out exactly the summertime schedule yet. I feel like maybe it won't be on Thursday. Maybe we'll release one next Tuesday. So this is actually recorded on Tuesday. Release this later today. Then release another podcast the following Tuesday. Just so then it's not so two in 1 week and then none for 3 weeks and then keep it a little more. Just for, of course, the like six people that listen and watch these. So,
Our faithful patrons, preach.
Which is appreciated, yeah. All, I mean, four more people than I ever thought would care or whatever. It's very cool, very appreciated. Wish we'd do it more, but of course, maybe more now. I obviously am less. I got 364 more days now, so. Till I have to worry about the US Open qualifying again, which maybe next year we'll just podcast way more and see if that works.
Could certainly do that.
I kind of feel like Rory at the Masters, where like I'm just gonna keep trying different things every year until I figure out which one works. Because I'm
And
not
now he's
really
gonna win
sure.
like 10 in a row.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Like being better at golf would obviously be helpful, but. I sometimes wonder too, like, how much better would really help? Like, because golf's just not my job. Like, it's just something I'm good at. I don't know. I don't know. But it's also at the same time, like, I'm playing better than I have ever in my entire life. And, like, we only kind of reiterated it, but, like, in our two-man scramble, like, I probably shot, like, 66. We shot 64, and I shot 66, probably. I mean, it really was for the first time in our competitive team things, like the first time you really didn't do a ton.
Just bringing the vibes, you know.
Yeah, it just you just didn't have it that day, and that's totally fine. I just happened to really have it. And I don't know. It's kind of been like that all the time. Like that was a really good round. Had plenty of good rounds, and I don't know. Would have been nice to know if it was better weather, like what I would have shot. We'll never know. That's just the way it goes.
Away she goes.
Like I'm gonna keep saying it, so I yeah, maybe I'll listen back to this next year. Like somebody did it, like regardless of conditions, yesterday, like somebody did it. Not everybody shot 80, so it certainly was possible. So you just gotta be better at it. That's all it is.
Keep on keeping on.
Yep. All right. Well, I'm good.
So yeah, if you've made it to the 1 hour and 23 minute mark, again, we appreciate you a lot. Appreciate you taking time out of your schedule or away from the radio or your regularly YouTube scheduled programming to attend this podcast. Appreciate it. And yeah, other than that, I guess Two Guys Golf sign off here. Appreciate all you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, take care.